Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
The state visit of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has been taking place today, coming as the US tries to broker a ceasefire. And Steve Witkoff is in Moscow speaking with a delegation from Putin. Zelensky has, of course, been addressing a joint sitting of the Dáil in the last couple of hours. Our political correspondent, Sean Defoe, is with me. Sean, lovely to speak to you as always. Before we get to President Zelensky and what he said in that address to the Houses of the Raptors and indeed in the press conference beforehand, let's look at what Micheál Martin had to say. He acknowledged that this was a critical moment for Ukraine and for Europe and, I suppose, European security. But what was the general message coming from the Irish government today?
Look, it couldn't have been one of more solidarity with Ukraine, that coming from this morning's cabinet meeting, where a number of memos were approved, including additional funds of 125 million euro over the next few years, 25 million of that going towards energy problems that Ukraine is obviously having at the moment, given that its energy systems are under continued bombardment and it's in the middle of winter. And then other side meetings. So Olena Zelenska, Mr. Zelensky's wife, met with the higher education minister to talk about the Ukrainians who are in Ireland, to sign a document as well about cooperation between the EU countries, and to talk about the more than 2,000 Ukrainians who maybe came here over the last few years and are now in some form of third level education in Ireland. So overall, look, one of extreme solidarity. And I think you could hear that possibly some of the strongest comments Micheál Martin has made about how far, when other countries are maybe flagging in their support of Ukraine, as Mr. Zelensky said in his own speech this afternoon, that Ireland is very much in it for the long haul. Here's some of what he had to say.
To be immensely resilient, innovative and creative, qualities that I like to think we recognise and share. President Zelensky, as a country with a long history of migration of our own, as a people that at times in our history have known conflict and have sought refuge and opportunity abroad, as a people who have seen peace come and our country transformed, know that for as long as Ukraine needs our help and support, Ireland will be there for you. Your struggle is our struggle. Your success will be our success. We are with you for as long as it takes. Mr. President Volodymyr, you and the First Lady are most welcome to Ireland. We will continue to do all we can to support a just and lasting peace for Ukraine. I've always been clear that nothing can be decided about Ukraine without the involvement of Ukraine. And we will be with you when peace prevails to support the recovery and reconstruction of your country. Thank you, and Slava Ukraini.
Micheál Martin is speaking there. Ireland will, of course, hold the presidency of the Council of the European Union for a six-month term next year, from July to December. The Taoiseach also referred to that and what he would use his time as president for.
Yeah, and one of the big things that both Volodymyr Zelensky is seeking and that Ireland has said it will support is membership of the European Union, and is moving to a position in the next few years where Ukraine could become a member state. Obviously, that is massively complicated. It's not entirely accepted across the board of the European Union, and there's a lot that Ukraine would have to do, even if it wasn't in a wartime situation, to be eligible for EU membership, as some of the Balkan states, for example, have found out over the years as they've been trying to accede to the European Union. Mr. Zelensky referred to that in some of his speech as well, talking about that being a type of security guarantee in itself out to the future. But Micheál Martin said it certainly won't be a lack of effort on Ireland's side for both advocating, also pushing, and indeed providing funding for the, I suppose, bureaucracy such as it is in Ukraine at the moment, to be making those preparations behind the scene that would align itself with the various boxes you have to tick to become an EU member.
He also spoke, as we said there, about, you know, supporting the Ukraine for as long as it takes. But there has been a real scaling back in terms of the supports and benefits that are here for Ukrainians in Ireland, and potential for further scaling back next year, or questions, I suppose, over what will happen to Ukrainians who are here in Ireland once that temporary protection directive lapses. Was that an uncomfortable line of questioning for both Micheál Martin and President Zelensky?
Yeah, Micheál Martin managed to kind of sidestep it effectively enough because he was asking another question at the same time. For Volodymyr Zelensky, he had answered the previous question in English. He reverted back to Ukrainian to answer this particular one, and I thought handled it quite deftly. He said, look, that he absolutely has to thank Ireland for every level of support, and that the way he was brought up was to always thank people for their help when they give it to you, whether that help is increasing or decreasing. So sort of, you know, made a little bit of a nod to the fact that maybe those measures that you mentioned are being tightened or maybe pulling back over the next while. But it was wrapped up in a quite a diplomatic answer about all the supports Ireland is giving at the moment. And of course, when you've just been standing next to a man who has said, by the way, we're giving you 125 million euro over the next few years, he was never going to be rude to his hosts in that way.
Okay, let's go then to President Zelensky's address to the Houses of Oireachtas, and indeed to the press conference that he held just before that address. I noticed he mentioned in both this desire from Ukrainians for a decent, dignified peace. And he said again, a peace without humiliation. Was that sort of a lot of the theme, I suppose, of what he was speaking about?
Look, certainly that is, and it's kind of really interesting to see throughout the day how his reaction has been. Because, for example, I wasn't in the Oireachtas for the part where he met Catherine Connolly. I did see the footage and I thought it looked very cold or almost frosty between Catherine Connolly, Olena Zelenska and Volodymyr Zelensky. I was then speaking to one of the reporters who was there, who said that while he was on the drive up, he was being briefed by the team who were in discussions with the US ahead of the Steve Witkoff visit to Moscow. And so perhaps it would be fairer to say that he had his mind slightly elsewhere, and that he was his head was in those discussions while he was also meeting for the courtesy call with Catherine Connolly. Yeah, as you mentioned, look, he's been talking about sort of a fair deal. He mentioned during the press conference that what was the original 28-point plan has been refined back to 20 points now. We'll talk about that in a couple of seconds. But maybe just to talk about the address, first of all, that he gave to the Oireachtas. He had said before that now more than ever, there is a chance to end this particular war. It was interesting when the Dáil entered, a huge amount of excitement among lots of the TDs and senators who were in there, who were sort of jockeying for space. Minister James Lawless was bumped off of the ministerial row that they usually sat in for a senator who had taken his seats, wasn't too happy to be displaced and sitting in the front row. You had a lot of people who were very eagerly awaiting and jumping up to clap for Olena Zelenska as she came in a few minutes before Volodymyr Zelensky. And then you had others like Danny Healy-Ray, who was sitting reading a copy of the Irish Independent up until a couple of minutes before the speech, and obviously wasn't all too much fussed with it. Most TDs welcomed them with a pretty rapturous applause, with the exception of People Before Profit. Ruth Coppinger wasn't in the chamber. Richard Boyd Barrett and Paul Murphy were, and while they did stand for Volodymyr Zelensky, they refused to clap, citing their own issues with what's been happening with the war in Ukraine. And I think something that he picked up on in his speech in the Oireachtas, and that he has done through the day, and Micheál Martin has done through the day, is really try to capture the parallels between Ukraine and Ireland. He does it in this clip we can hear now.
Dear Ireland, please remember your voice matters. From Ireland's vote at the United Nations to the words in your media, from your thoughts here in Dublin, to every home in the global Irish community around the world. That's millions of people who can influence hundreds of millions more. When the most powerful apply pressure, the global community helps guide that pressure in the right direction. Just as there is no capital in the world unaware of what St. Patrick's Day is, there should be no capital that does not know that the Irish, together with the Ukrainians and many other nations, are united for real peace.
Yeah, it was really interesting to listen to that comment from Zelensky that both Irish and Ukrainians are amongst the few in Europe who spent centuries fighting for the right to remain themselves. So he's very good, I think, at drawing a link, isn't he, between what's happening in Ukraine and whatever country it is that he is visiting. What else did he say that you think was of note? And was he asked about those ongoing negotiations? Did he reveal anything about the Ukraine position or indeed what he expects to emerge from Steve Witkoff's talks in Moscow?
Yeah, on that vein, I suppose, of the parallels, he also said Ireland understands the price of freedom, having fought for it for so long, and the memory in many countries can be, I suppose, fleeting about things like that, whereas in Ireland, it's bred deep as it is. In Ukraine, he spoke about this tribunal for Russian aggression, which is something that the cabinet signed up on as well this morning to make Ireland a member of essentially a commission that is going to look for reparations from Russia to rebuild Ukraine. The Taoiseach saying that the cost can't simply fall to the European Union, and Zelensky urging them to use frozen Russian assets to fund the rebuilding of his country. When it comes to what's happening at the moment in the briefings, he would have been getting separate to all of this. Steve Witkoff is now meeting with Vladimir Putin at the moment. That is underway. He was asked about it, and as you said, sort of discussed that this has to be a deal without humiliation. Said that there was a couple of big issues that needed to be ironed out, and that he couldn't say everything, but he did have some bits he could divulge, which he did in English on the steps of government buildings.
Eight till today's evening. And what about the points? I'm not sure that I'm ready to share all the points of this plan, but I think that you saw a lot of things in media. But what can I say? I think that the most sensitive things and the most difficult questions or questions with the challenges, it's about territories, it's about frozen assets, because I can't just myself speak on behalf of European leaders. It's about money which are frozen, but in Europe. It's about decision, common decision of Europeans. I can only have partnership and share my view of this and support, and they can support me, but I can't decide on behalf of leaders about the money which are in EU.
Sean, what happens next?
So Zelensky has just left Leinster House here. He's going to leave Ireland, obviously, this evening. There were some other meetings going on. His wife, Elena Zelenska, was down in Trinity College meeting with some members of the Ukrainian community as well. In terms of, I suppose, the wider picture, because this is just one stop in the same way that Paris was yesterday, and speaking to the British Prime Minister as well, what happens next is just what he said in that particular clip when he spoke about needing to be briefed now by the American delegation. So he would have spoken to Steve Witkoff yesterday, had a lot of praise to America and the American press, picking up on his comments in Dublin, really going hard on the idea that Zelensky is saying now more than ever there's a chance to end this war. And when he did say that America is taking serious steps to end this war one way or the other. But he also pointed out rather rightly that it can't just be a situation that allows Russia to stop the conflict now, regroup, and then launch what he described as would be a third invasion of Ukraine in the space of 10 years. So really a lot riding on that meeting in Russia. How much does the US come down on their side in the way it did at the start of these talks when there were 28 points heavily leaning towards Russia? And that question, and it was put to him today by one of the Irish journalists, are you in a position where you have to accept a bad deal now or a worse deal in a couple of years' time when America pulls support, is one that, again, he didn't really answer, because he can't answer until he knows what comes out of those talks today.
All right, political correspondent Sean Defoe, thank you for bringing us that insight into President Zelensky's address to the Houses of the Oireachtas and indeed the press conference with our Taoiseach Micheál Martin.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.